You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On today's show, we're talking about Thierry Henry going to Montreal as the new coach. Look at that. TT is back in Major League Soccer. Also, we're going to be talking about some NWSL news, some big exciting news, and also the all the heat that the U.S. Women's National Team is bringing out for everybody.
That's right. And in the second segment, we talked to Derek Etienne Jr., player for the Haitian National Team. And what MLS team? I don't know. Maybe we find out. But absolutely one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. It was absolutely incredible. That and more on this episode
of the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Wow! Is it? Did you suffer some sort of brain injury I was not aware of?
This part I remember.
I think you're confusing the commercials, the promos that we do for the show, and the actual show.
I think you're giving me too much credit.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. We usually start the show with a little bit more energy to get you to rock it off. You know, this is eight.
I just yelled "Yeah, baby" for 35 seconds straight.
But now the standard has lowered. Yeah. All right, because we have to do two screams, not one scream.
Oh, that's too many screams. I'm not in a screaming mood today.
Okay, all right.
I'm saving it because one of my idols, a legend, is back in MLS, baby.
It sounds like a funeral, but you...
I don't know R.I.P. I don't know why. Also, we get to unbox stuff.
We're happy to be here. Hello, everyone. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, it is. And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, I'm glad he remembered that.
That part I got right up here. I think it's the part, man. The guy shaved in the part.
Okay. I think he gave you a buzz and a lobotomy.
Yeah, he took a piece. Out. Maybe my hair is my superpower. You know what I mean?
Sure. Okay. So
are the funniest soccer podcast
and television show out here. We're happy to be on. It's not only the funniest soccer show that you've ever watched. It's also what, Alexis?
I don't know. Is it maybe the gulliest? I'm pointing. They moved the shirt. Damn it! I should have looked back.
Is this an outtake episode? What is going on?
When you wonder how much preparation do they do beforehand, not much. It's not my fault. None of this is my fault. There was a gulliest shirt there at one point, was there not?
You think the viewers know that?
Thursday. Thursday.
Oh, my goodness. What a start. Hello, everyone. Yes, a lot. I have to wipe the tear off my face. Because
those are not tears of joy, folks.
this person who I've chosen to form a partnership with.
Great decision.
It's clearly falling apart in front of our eyes.
Nah, baby, I've never felt better. I'm telling you, it's the part.
So, yes, a lot going on in soccer, but we have to... First, I got to rock the hat that...
I mean, this is the official merch.
The official merch out here.
If you win MLS Cup and you don't get a merch that says... You won MLS World Cup? I mean, did you actually win anything?
Exactly. So we got this in Seattle.
We only got one, so we're splitting custody of it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you get to wear it a little bit, and then I get to wear it a little bit.
Okay. That's not how it works with kids. You know that, right? Wear the kid.
That's right. He soils himself in your place, and then he soils himself in my place.
But yes, this also, we have to show some love to the people who show love to us.
That's right. Shouts to the fans.
And that's right. And we got some podcast reviews that we always appreciate. So if you guys have the opportunity to leave a review, maybe some people can't watch the show. Maybe they can't see it on YouTube.
You enjoy the television show anyway. Just go subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.
Exactly. So we have a couple of reviews that we wanted to read.
That's right. And these are, when we want to talk about what people say, what's your show like? Oh, you guys have a show? What's it like? It's hard to really explain, but I think both of these reviews have done a wonderful job. First, I mean, this is just wonderful right here. This is my by GU Tuna.
Ooh.
I don't know what that G unit tuna. I don't know exactly what's happening here. Good tuna.
Good. Okay.
I feel like he was starting off gully and was like, nah, I like tuna. You know what I mean? So the first thing is think dot, dot, dot,
ooh,
which I'm always upset about when someone says that. Cause I'm like, generally it's not that's, think. Why would you do that? Like, that's usually what that follows.
Sure,
that. But no, he put Desus and Miro X Laurel and Hardy collaboration.
Okay, so this is two
pillars,
yeah, pillars.
Yeah, of comedy. Also wildly accurate.
Yes, we have the silliness of maybe a Laurel and Hardy,
right,
and then maybe the gulliness,
right,
of Desus and Miro.
That's right, the pratfalls of a Laurel and Hardy, the pointing at the wrong shirt of the Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, you would think all of it was scripted, but yeah,
nah,
very.
Our writer ain't that good. He's right there. He's over there.
So thank you, GU Tuna.
Thank you, GU Tuna. But also, that's not the last one. Benjamin Beast 28.
Ooh.
He also left a review, which I love. By the way, both of these are 5 stars. We don't read it unless it's 5 stars. Don't you dare come at us with no 4 stars. We're going to hit Mark as obscene or whatever. So it's out of there.
Yes.
The title is Worth a Listen. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Right. So you're actually helping people, decide to listen, which is always good. Possibly the best food podcast out there. Probably the only one that also happens to talk about soccer occasionally. Also wildly accurate.
Okay. This is very, very much. I mean, there's a reason pizza is in our logo.
That's right.
Soccer comes up from time to time, but
every once in a while we talk about the game of soccer.
Yeah. But it's not
but
the
pizza's not a game.
No, definitely not to Alexis.
Yeah, no, nah, son, take that serious.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Talk about any pizza that's not within, you know, the 7 zip codes of the tri-state area, and Alexis will real disparage your pizza and also where you're from and everything that that makes you happy.
True, and you might get two-footed. Okay, to bring it back to soccer. So thank you so much, GU Tuna
and Benjamin Beast. Benjamin Beast, shout out to you guys. So feel free, leave a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever, wherever you listen.
That's right. It
would help very much. So
send an email to the head of the Fubo Sports Network, and ooh, you can leave a review that way as well.
Okay, those go straight to the recycle bin. Nobody reads those. Trust me. Okay. So we did get a couple boxes and one box and one envelope.
All right, I'm gonna let you open the envelope in case there's anthrax in that joint.
Sure. Our fans love us. Thank you for this beautiful powder. Yeah. You got us. You got us real good.
Why is Christian going to the bathroom so much?
Okay, so let me open this.
You open that first?
Yeah, let me get this one first. All right, these are a couple stickers.
This is
a
very light box.
Oh, okay.
I'm worried about this.
This is, I know who this is from.
Well, you're not saying anything,
this
so we don't.
This is from the Corner of the Galaxy, guys.
Oh, shouts to Corner of the Galaxy.
Right here.
Let me see. This is dope.
All these, Corner of the Galaxy is a LA Galaxy podcast. And look, and this is a hammer with a Portuguese flag, because one of the guys, Eric, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
We met him in in
Portuguese.
L.A. We met him in L.A. Okay. Yeah.
That's how you say it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just thought it was the brain injury again. My bad.
Nah, that is Portuguese.
It says, the Cooligans, Alexis and Christian. Pleasure to meet you guys and appreciate you taking the time to reply to my messages and chat it up for a bit. Bummed we couldn't chat it up some more, but it was kind of a cool flex to be thrown out in front of you. This okay, so yeah.
So we were in the LAFC section.
Yes, and he is an LA Galaxy fan,
and he's a very popular LA Galaxy fan. Has a podcast and everything, and he just walked in to talk to us, and it was allowed for a few minutes.
It was allowed,
and then a couple drunk people showed up, and it was no longer allowed.
It was we realized he had broken the rule.
Yeah.
But it's common. It's a derby. You can't.
I will say they were like, you got to go off the grass. So, like, he stood like a foot away from my, I mean.
Hey, but those are the rules.
Rules.
You got to follow the rules.
No one splashed him with water, though, Seattle. So respectful.
And he says, I'm sure you guys get tons of stickers, but here's some more for the collection. All the best, Eric Vieira. Thank you so much, Eric.
Wow.
Appreciate it. Okay, and what are these? Oh.
Wow.
What is that noise, Alexis?
Talisman. Done hooked it up. All right, you get this one. This is
yeah, I think it's pretty obvious.
The Bruce banana hat.
That's right.
This is one of the most famous, you know this, right? One of the most famous Arsenal jerseys of all time.
Correct.
They're back with Adidas, so they re-released sort of a Bruce banana print for their current hat. But this joint, I mean, I got too much hair product on to put this on right now. But this is beautiful. Shout so much.
Talisman,
who made our hats.
Who made our hats, yes. That's if you right. want to get one of our hats, you can get them on the On the Valley Apparel store.
Yeah, that hat is so fucking big on.
It's I have to snap yeah. it.
You look like an extra in a Fabulous video.
Really? I feel like I just look like Fabulous. That's a
good one. You look like his cousin.
I got to just chip my tooth and I'll be all set. Talisman, thank you so much. Yeah, Talisman, they make amazing gear and caps. Support and stuff local. Like that. Thank you so much. Yeah, we did a live show with them
at the Talisman store
in St. Paul, Minnesota.
With a player that is not protected in the expansion draft.
Yes.
That will be happening later tonight. So you guys are watching this, I guess, during...
You're watching this after
the
expansion
draft happened.
So we don't know exactly what happened, but hopefully Miguel Ibarra
going to Miami
or Nashville. Yeah. But hopefully Miguel Ibarra. Hopefully, I think a lot of Minnesota fans would like him to stay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. He's a big.
You're really going out on a limb there.
Yeah, I feel like one or two people are like.
You want the guy we interviewed and filled out a store? One of the most popular players in Minnesota history? You think they want him to stay?
Okay, so thank you so much for that, Talisman.
Shouts to you, Talisman. Shouts to us.
So, okay.
Shouts to us forever, yo.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
We got free stuff. Shouts to us.
Okay.
And you know why we get free stuff? Because we're the gulliest.
All right. There's a bunch of news that we're going to talk about today. I have to talk about Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
Because he is coming back to Major League Soccer.
The ledge.
Yes. The New York Red Bull legend.
Well, that's what you think
Nobody
about.
Nobody knows him from anything else.
Never played for Barcelona.
Barca who?
Yeah. What part of Jersey is that?
So, but yeah, this is incredible news, right? Thierry Henry, absolute French legend, Arsenal legend. Yeah. But played in MLS for a few years, never on turf. That was always
refused it.
Refused it. Not his thing.
Not my style. Not good for the hammies.
So, but he's going to be coaching the Montreal Impact.
That's right.
The Montreal Impact, they had it, I guess, basically like an interim coach, which I didn't realize it was going to be an interim coach.
It wasn't Pareja. What was his name?
Wilmer Cabrera.
He, I thought it seemed like he was going to be, they said it was interim, but I assumed that that was because they hadn't negotiated a contract.
Yeah.
And it looks like the reason they didn't is because they're like, nah, man, you out.
But it's weird.
I have a feeling that they were trying to get him to be the head coach. Like they were figuring out the contract, but they're like, Thierry Henry called. You good.
But everything I heard, it was basically like Thierry Henry was just like, yo,
yeah,
I'm busy the next 8 months.
Right. Like, what's good? Like, you know, those movies where they're like the mediocre guy and the mediocre girl, like, yo, if nobody asks us to prom, we'll go. But then the guy gets a phone call from the hot girl the day before. He's like, yo, girl, you going alone? I'm going.
Okay. Yeah.
DT wants to go to the prom.
It's like a pact. They made a pact. But yes. Okay. It's very strange. Mediocre girl and mediocre guy. It's just a strange way to frame
a team that didn't do so well and a coach who had gotten fired midway through the season.
No,
I actually think I hit the nail on the head.
I think you wanted to say like ugly girl and ugly guy.
No, I didn't.
I think you wanted to be meaner. That's what I'm basically saying.
Of course, I was trying to be nicer.
So,
thank you for exposing me, Christian.
You're obviously a big Arsenal fan.
Huge.
Wow.
I filmed Thierry Henry for like an entire day when he came back to the Rebels after doing the loan. Remember where he scored against Leeds? I don't know if you were watching, and he was like, you know, banging his the Arsenal badge over his chest, like running around going crazy. I mean, just to be able to spend time with him and talk to him, the guy's like the sweetest dude in the world. But it's like sort of, you know, when they're like, yo, don't meet your heroes. You know what I mean? Like all the fans who've met me, you know what I mean? Right?
Sure, yeah,
they're thinking like, yeah, that was a bad idea. You know what I mean? Turns out there's not much of a gap between the real him and
I've made
on
such
the show.
A huge mistake.
Why have I listened to this dude for so long? You know, when I met him, I'm like, yo, it just sort of solidifies what you had hoped how you hoped someone would be that you sort of adore from afar. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
He does seem from all accounts, as far as like fans meeting him and he's a hero to a lot of people.
Right.
People speak very, very positively of him.
Unless
you worked with him in any capacity.
Yeah.
Then it's usually like that. He seems to be a bit of, I don't want to say stubborn, but to be that kind of a player, to be that kind of a person and figure, you sort of have to be like, yo, this is how I do things.
It's like, you want to know how I made it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always going to be that. Like, there was the famous thing with the chair where they were getting up from the press conference and the player didn't push the chair back in and he didn't say anything. He just stood there and pointed at the chair and was like, hey.
Hey, yeah.
Hey. And, but he when I saw that, I was like, hey. Push a chair.
Also, that guy was suspended for 3 years.
Yeah.
That's how he
was forced to clean a Cuban household. That's the punishment. Yeah, we play salsa music while you're cleaning. Stop dancing.
Zach, you're not supposed to enjoy this.
This is punishment.
But no, it does seem like, from everything I've heard, especially if anybody have seen or read anything about his time at Monaco, it was really bad. It was his first coaching job.
Right.
And it couldn't have gone worse.
No. But, you know, everyone gets a second chance and we're better than MLS.
Hey.
Major League second chance.
Okay. This is basically the halfway house of soccer.
Let us be your rebound girl, dog.
Let us be the mediocre rebound girl.
So kiss me. Whatever that song is playing all those movies.
Hey, we don't got the right stop.
8 seconds is all we're allowed, right?
Fuba, the lawyers are getting it.
Everybody was wild stressed that I knew more lyrics than that.
I'm impressed it wasn't some trap song. Song, bro.
No, that's a Young Thug remix.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no doubt. But I'm excited to see him play, see him coach it in MLS, to see how he's going to sort of handle in Montreal. Obviously, makes sense. The guy speaks French.
Yeah.
They speak a lot of French up there.
Done.
But, yeah, all right. It seems like a good marriage.
Yes, we hire.
All right. Print the t-shirts.
But the truth is that even the team announced that, like, yo, he called us, so we hired him. It was like legitimately.
Yeah. It seems like. Yeah.
They didn't interview anybody else. They admitted that.
Yeah.
They admitted that they interviewed nobody else. They were like, who cares? Thierry Henry called.
They were like, this is the U.S. men's national team style of coach hiring.
Yeah. No, they didn't wait a year and a half. They just went ahead and hired him. But you know, the owner of the team was like, yo, FaceTime, let me know it's real.
I need to look in your eyes.
I know. Oh my God, a him.
I hope it works out, because Montreal have been very much underachieving the last couple of years under Remy Gard, who was I can't even remember the coach before Remy Gard. Why can't I remember him?
Didier Drogba?
No, it was a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember he had nice hair.
Yeah. He was the one that was a legend with the club.
Yeah, and he's been they've just.
No, Marmanotis
is a player. No, Wilmer Cabrera is the.
We're talking to our producer. We're not just randomly yelling names.
Imagine this show was just us talking to the producer all day.
Also, nobody noticed that with the way we normally do the show, nobody noticed we were just spouting out stuff randomly. Nobody knows. We explained that for no reason. People are like, yeah, no, now they're talking about something else.
Oh,
this
God.
Is normal. The ADD podcast, also known as the Cooligans.
But, like I said, they've been underachieving the last couple of years. Always, they make it to the playoffs if they're lucky, but always in like the last position or whatever. But
we were there for the game against Toronto. When they honored Didier Drogba with that Walmart painting. Remember that thing?
I don't remember what it looked like.
Remember,
but
it was like a frame of like a drawing, like, oh, one of the oldest kids drew this. Yeah. But it was very nice. I couldn't see from how far we were. But the energy was like amazing. They filled out the Stadio Olympic, which was like, what, 40, 50K, something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is insane. Clearly, there's a desire for the team to do well.
Yeah.
I, you know, hopefully Thierry Henry's that guy to do it. We want to go up there and interview him.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Yo, let's go to Montreal, dog. Who could set that up? Set that up for us.
Who are you pointing at?
No, we're talking to the fans. We're not talking to the producer right now. We're talking to the fans.
I mean, I'm talking to the producer.
Yeah.
Yo, set that up for us, dog.
Yo, producer, set that up, dog.
One day we'll learn your name, producer.
Yeah. Yo, we want to talk to Thierry. Tell him to FaceTime so we know it's real.
All right, we'll be right back.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring in with a little word from one of our sponsors, Chivas Regal.
That's right. Join Chivas Regal at its House of United event on Sunday, November 24th, starting at 8 a.m. Kickoff is at 8:30 a.m. as Chivas celebrates the launch of Chivas 13-year-old expression in partnership with Manchester United Football Club.
That's right. The special blend pays homage to Sir Alex Ferguson and his 13 Premier League title wins under his management.
The free House of United event will bring Manchester United Football Club's Old Trafford Stadium from Manchester to Los Angeles, to downtown Los Angeles, with free complimentary specialty Chivas cocktails, soccer-inspired activities, and appearance by former Manchester United goalkeeper Gary Bailey and boxer Triple G.
Oh, man, you don't want to miss this event. This event is for 21 plus and over. Please enjoy Chivas Regal responsibly. Chivas is a 13-year-old expression. It's absolutely incredible. It's Chivas Regal. It's a really special blended whiskey. Absolutely incredible. You guys got to give it a try. It's just for this event. So get down there Sunday, November 24th, starting at 8 a.m.
Exactly. And go to ChivasHouseOfUnited.com to register. All right. Welcome back. So we have some more news to talk about. Some people arrived to MLS, but some people are leaving.
Some people are gone. Well, they already conquered it, quote unquote.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're done. They're like, you know, I got my passport stamped. I'm done with this place.
We good.
No, Zlatan Ibrahimovic announces that he is leaving the LA Galaxy. We don't know where his next destination is.
We also don't care. You're gone.
once you leave me, I don't care who your next man is.
You're dead to me.
No, but this is so Zlatan Ibrahimovic spends basically a year and a half in MLS after coming back from an injury that he suffered while he was playing with Manchester United.
That's right.
But lit up the league, right? We have to give credit where credit is
lit
due.
Up the regular season.
Okay.
Everybody slow down just a little. He lit up the regular season, postseason. He took a little bit of a nap. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you can't blame him particularly for LA Galaxy's defensive struggles.
Oh, did they change the players in the postseason? Is that what they did? They swapped out the players? Is that what they did? Different team?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they played different competition than they played during the regular season.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
No, I don't think either of those things are true.
Sure.
I think maybe he just wasn't, I don't know, maybe he just couldn't step it up in a big game.
Oh, you
know
okay. I mean? Wow. Okay.
Maybe that's it.
I wonder if Sebastian Salazar had said that too.
Get lost.
What would have happened? It would have been get lost, but I think Zlatan would have physically picked him up and threw him out of the stadium.
Also, Zlatan's a black belt, so if he was here, I would be not talking spicy. I'd be like, sir, I mean, do you need anything? Can I get you a coffee?
He's clearly a divisive figure. For any league he plays in and whatever team he plays for. But as far as the impact that he's left on MLS, his first goal for the LA Galaxy one of the biggest goals you'll ever see in soccer history.
It was the greatest entrance to a game in the history of MLS, I think.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
I don't think anyone has ever sort of made that big of a splash.
Okay, and is there any... I'm a little bothered that he's leaving this suit. I think one more year would have.
He's 38 years old,
and he's nearly getting 30 goals each season.
Yeah, no, I mean he's playing fine, but it's like, why do we keep needing these old dudes? You know what I mean?
It has nothing to do with his age. It's who he is as a person. He is a unique figure. He is Beckham levels fame.
No, he's not Beckham level. He's.
You don't think he's Beckham level?
They're on the same. Look, they're in the same aisle. In the is it called an aisle in a library?
I thought you were going to say supermarket because you're much more familiar with that.
That's where the term aisle popped up in my brain.
Yeah, aisles can be in libraries as well. Look, I know you've never been to one.
I know, I've heard of them. They say you have to be quiet in them, so I think you know why I'm not going in them. They're not even on the same shelf. You know what I mean? They're not even in the same Dewey Decimal System drawer. Yeah, I didn't know I knew that. I'll get in his again. I didn't know I knew that.
Okay. I disagree. I think they're both in each era. I think look, they're equivalent.
We got something out of it, right? We got the video of him grabbing his crotch. We got a couple million views
on
it.
We got what we needed.
So get out the lead. Contract was successful.
All right, we got the video. We uploaded it straight to Pornhub. We're good to go.
We're done, baby.
We're done here.
Too much sauce.
I didn't want to title it that, but he really did. He said it would get more hits.
Yeah. Boy, did it. Personally, he did what he came here to do, right? He two or three highlights, and now he's gone.
Okay, if that's enough to call it a, you know, to call it an MLS career, I think he could have. I think it would have been pretty monumental if he would have won an MLS Cup.
He won one playoff game. No trophies.
No trophies.
The entire time he was here.
Zero trophies.
Three. He's able to win three a year.
Okay.
He's able to win 3 a year and he won zero. It's the first time he hasn't won a trophy with the new club.
Yeah, I'm sure he's disappointed. So I don't know why he's leaving. I think he did not get the job done. I think for his own ego, he probably would have wanted to win. And it's just the outgoing message, which the social media tweet that he put. Social media. I don't know why I keep saying that. Social media tweet. But that makes no sense. Yeah. It's wildly redundant.
Tell us more, Grandpa. Yeah, you heard about the neighbor? He's got the cancer. I read it in one of those social media tweets.
He said he conquered and basically ended it saying, like, now go back to watch baseball.
Yeah.
All right. He doesn't need to be that condescending, even though we know he is.
Also, I thought that was a shot at NYCFC. Yo, why you got to do that, dog?
Because he's basically saying, like, now the spotlight is gone from MLS.
Right. Like, soccer's no longer important.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
That part is
it was, I mean, he also did it during the World Series, though.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I mean.
So the other thing we wanted to talk about real quick, also news that just popped up on our screens a moment ago.
Unai Emery's going to get fired soon because Pochettino's been sacked, baby.
Mauricio Pochettino, manager for Tottenham, has been let go, been relieved of his duties during the international break.
Wow. Wild disrespectful.
I know. Just let him come into work at least.
I know. My man.
Tell him to his face.
So now he has to show up and then pack up all his stuff? It's supposed to hit him right after lunch? Let my man get his lunch.
Are you surprised by this move from Tottenham? Yeah.
They hadn't signed anyone for 2 years.
Sure.
It's not his fault. He's kept that team together. He kept them in the championship. He went to the Champions League final last year.
Yeah. This seems like a very strange move.
It's dumb. It's dumb, but... It's also Tottenham, right? So you would expect Tottenham and Dumb to sort of merge at some point. And they've been going too smart for too long.
Okay.
So here's what I say. Unai Emery, you're gone, right? Because, United's going to fire Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, whatever his last name is.
Sure. I'm sure he appreciates that. Yeah.
Ole Gunnar Shrumpshire, whatever my dude's name is. Right?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I know Solskjaer. Let me have the joke. So he's going to
just saying people's names wrong is not a joke.
Hilarious.
What exactly?
Also the game. Let him, right? My man's going to get fired and they're going to try to get Pochettino because they said they want Pochettino anyway, right?
Okay.
Real Madrid said they want Pochettino. Yo, my man's free right now.
Okay.
Arsenal. Let's go.
You think?
Can I fire Unai Emery myself?
But you don't want Pochettino to go to Arsenal.
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Oh, no, 100%. He's an incredible manager. And also, what would upset Tottenham fans more than him going to Arsenal and, I don't know, winning something maybe? Hopefully. It's still Arsenal these days. So you never know. I think it's a big moment for Arsenal right here. We get to see what this sort of front office is made out of.
I think a lot of Arsenal fans would be wouldn't they be upset by getting the former Tottenham?
No.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hilarious.
I don't know the exact culture of Arsenal. It seems like they would dislike Tottenham things.
We got Sol Campbell, who was a Tottenham defender. Tim Sherwood, who was their manager, had an Arsenal tattoo on his arm. We love it. Harry Kane was developed by us. Bruh, you need us. Where would you be without us? Now we want your good stuff.
Okay. Yeah. No, you heard it here first.
So obviously the World Cup in 2022 is going to be happening in Qatar. The rumor was that it was going to be played in the winter. Turns out that rumor is correct. Because if not, it's like 127 degrees.
Sure. Perfectly good. Footy,
it's great time.
Footy weather.
Yeah. RIP to all the UK fans that go out there. In that weather, you're going to combust. But it turns out that the schedule has been announced. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is so truncated. Oh, there's a word you didn't think I knew. It's so truncated that this is now the shortest.
We should have somebody behind the chair to pat Alexis on the back whenever.
Oh, I'd love that. Oh, can we make it like an older man who looks like he would be my father? That'd be great. That'd be nice. Just to have video evidence.
Add
it
to the budget. Older man who looks like he might be Alexis's father.
Also, find my dad, producer.
Yo, this producer really dropping the ball.
No,
not getting us here on read, not getting us your biological father. Right?
What's the deal? You act like none of this is in your job description.
You knew what this was when you took the job.
You hired us.
Okay, yes, the World Cup 2022. Finally, the schedule is out, and
that's right. It's mad short. That's the title.
Yes,
print it.
Because we realized it's going to be from November 21st to December 18th, which is a fairly, 26, 27 days, 28 days.
28 days.
To have a World Cup, which is will be a little bit challenging, obviously, with 32 teams.
Also in the middle of most seasons outside of MLS.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is also going to eat in a Champions League. They had to do it this quickly so that they could finish before Boxing Day, which is like a big tradition in England.
Yep.
Where they all put on gloves and go outside and fight each other. Sure. Everybody knows it. It's a great tradition.
That's before every game.
Yeah. Yeah. Also after.
Okay. That's called the Millwall match.
Who all? Yeah. That's how they start the boxing. But like, you know, to me, it just seems like it's been proven that this was guided by corrupt means. Right. Yeah. Which again, I appreciate, born and raised in Newark. I respect it. But it has been proven, right? People are dying. They're keeping the passports of like the people that are building.
Are you going to keep saying I approve it after every one of the
those two? I don't approve. Those two I don't approve.
Newark.
Bribery. You know? I kind of get, you know what I mean? It just seems easier if I give you an envelope. It does. It does seem easier, but all this other stuff. And instead of losing it, they're going to completely change everything just to give them this World Cup. And now it's ruining everything else, except if you play for MLS.
Sure.
Because now it's kind of perfect.
It's like you win the MLS Cup, and then now you're playing for the World Cup a couple of days later.
I said we don't even send a men's national team. We just send the World Cup winner. I mean, the MLS Cup winner. You know what I mean?
The MLS World Cup winner. Okay, it's right here.
Yeah,
right?
We're ready for 2022, my guy.
So I think when Qatar was announced the winner, at first, you're like, all right, well, this is crazy. You can't play this in the summer.
And then they have no stadiums.
Yeah, they have no stadiums. But they have plenty of slaves to build them. So I wish that was a joke.
Turns out facts. It's uncomfortable.
Very much so.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear him say it. Nobody wants to say it.
But when you first heard that, you're like, all right, whatever. FIFA corruption.
Right.
We got to deal with this nonsense. And then they're like, all right, we're going to move it to the winter to accommodate. And then it's like, and then in theory, it sounds like, okay, we'll just move it to the winter.
Yeah.
And everything
as
will be
fine.
Not
going to mess everything else up.
And you realize how furious, really, mainly UEFA is, because they're the biggest confederation,
right,
as far as when it comes to popularity.
And you would assume they have some sway.
And they have how sway?
Yeah, hey, it turns out you ain't got the answer, sway.
How?
Nah.
Because UEFA is furious, because this affects everything. And you realize when... So the article that was written on SB Nation on Cartilage Free Captain, which is a Tottenham Hotspur, coincidentally, SB Nation blog. But you realize, like, when you look at it in detail, it's like the players will basically have the training before the actual World Cup. They will only have about like a week or two to play with their teammates to really prepare for the most important tournament that soccer has to offer.
That's right.
And then when they're done, whoever wins the World Cup is playing Boxing Day matches in like 3-4 days.
Yeah, you don't celebrate too hard, boys.
Okay.
You got a game coming up.
Okay.
It seems like a royal mistake. Also, it's going to be hard to watch a lot of the matches because they're all going to be happening concurrently for the group stages. To try to get it all done quickly.
Yeah. And
there's going to be a lot of injuries.
And there's going to be injuries. You have to assume that the quality of the World Cup will go down.
Or maybe most countries won't be prepared for it, except one, the United States of America.
If they get in.
I messed up one more.
There's one little hurdle there because they got to defeat Cuba first.
that powerhouse. Cuba, do exactly what you did in the first match. Just step aside.
Let Weston McKennie get 3 hat tricks in 14 minutes. but no, this is, I'm curious how, I don't know exactly how to feel about this World Cup given,
I think you know exactly how to feel
tainted.
About it.
Yeah. It is without a doubt tainted.
The entire summer is going to be empty when we could have played that anywhere else with all the time in the world.
All right, FIFA. All right.
Good job. I hope the bribery you got was big enough, honestly. And I mean that. I'm not being condescending. I hope it was good. Not just a couple Rolexes. I hope you got yourself a Wraith. And you know, you're sitting inside your car and you're looking at the stars. You know, you're like, who cares what those poor people think about the little tournament? I hope that's what's happening.
Just lean into the corruption.
I hope when the rest of us weren't getting Popeye's chicken sandwiches, you had a phone number you could call. That you could get it whenever you wanted. I really do. I mean that. I'm not being disrespectful at all. I hope you got whatever you wanted because this seems like it's not worth it.
All right. We'll be back with more. there's more news about, you know, American soccer players, which we're always excited to hear. Whenever it's a player's linked to a European club, it feels very like...
We're like, ooh.
Okay, what's going on here? I'm not used to this.
Yeah, oh, wow.
You got a passport from America? Impressive. Yeah. But no, Gianluca Busio, Sporting Kansas City midfielder.
What a great name.
Yeah.
Gianluca Busio.
Okay.
Lil Busio. Wipe me down.
We guys should be careful because he's 16 years old, Alexis. Yeah. I don't know what jokes you're making.
Wipe me down. Is that what you think it is? Shoulders, chest, pants, shoes.
Gianluca Busio, 16 years old, midfielder sport in Kansas City, been linked to a couple European clubs. One, Manchester United, Inter, and then, but apparently there's a real offer from Fiorentina.
Fiorentina.
So it's just the rumor that that they were asking for.
The rumor is $3 to $4 million is the offer they made.
Yeah.
And Sporting Kansas City was like, yo, fuck out of here. $10 million.
$10 million. No, not a dime less. Yeah.
I checked the Carfax. It's clean.
Okay. I kicked on the tides. Yeah. It's still good.
We good. $10 million. No, but it's a sentimental value is the reason. Clearly a lot of money. Somebody did the research of, because we didn't. Of all the $10 million players, it's Fati at Barcelona, which is one of the biggest players, one of the biggest youth players. Camavinga at Stade Rennais, who already is being linked with a bunch of major clubs. Renier at Flamengo, who I don't know. And Hattarin at PSV, which I can't even pronounce. Right?
Okay.
What happened in Scandinavia, they were like, yo, just throw extra consonants in there. That's our language. Put two dots on top of something, right? But I know Fati and Camavinga. Those are two major. Like, they're like, people are talking about Fati like they were talking about Mbappe 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And
I love American soccer players, right? And I want all of them to make all the money in the world. Ain't nobody talking about Gianluca Busio. Like, he's Mbappe, but he's got a lot of skill.
This is what happens, is that all that Gianluca Busio needs to do is put an M in front of his surname.
Mbusio,
and all of a sudden, $10 million is not too much to ask.
Yo, Nike, sign him. But I think what's happening is, like, yo, American players, like, they're, like, constantly, like, we have to give a discount because we're American, right?
Oh, sure.
Like, people don't want to spend. Which I look, you say 3 to 4, like, you know, the respectful thing is be like, yo, 6. Not, like, I'll give you $5 for that. I'll give it to you for $150. You know, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's too much.
You ain't haggling the way I want to haggle.
I feel like your negotiation skills are a bit off right now.
No, it's I think you know, we're not used to hearing about American players. I mean, $3 to $4 million for Gianluca Busio from a Serie A club is that's good money. For an MLS team, yo, take that.
Yo, call us. We'll make the deal.
We'll handle that.
And you know Gianluca Busio's waiting at the airport. He got his bag. He's like, did they do it? Did they say yes?
So,
can we pay the $10 million?
I don't know.
I don't know why players don't do that. Just take it out of your contract, the $10 million.
Take $10 million out of your contract.
Make the deal yourself. By yourself.
Okay, this is why Alexis does not work for FIFA.
I actually, with what I just said, I might be made like an executive at FIFA.
No, I think this, it's one of those things like, look, I don't know the reason to not take this offer, right?
Because they want to keep their youth player around, or they think a better offer is coming. That's the only two reasons.
Okay.
But for the kid's sake, he's going to develop faster at Fiorentina than he would at Sporting Kansas City.
Sure, but this happens all the time with MLS clubs. I don't know if it's partially they probably keep players a little too long. FC Dallas has this problem a little bit. People are like, Paxton Pomykal resigned for FC Dallas, and they're like, oh, should he have stayed with the club or should have left sooner, stuff like that. But it's like this weird balance of like, I want to help my team, do better in the standings, maybe win an MLS Cup, and also make a ton of damn money if we raise the value of the player.
And also, how's the league going to get better if you constantly just sell your best players? Gianluca Busio is a future superstar, whether it's in this league or any other league. So I completely agree with the idea of you want to hold on to your players. But to some degree, it's like you also don't want to stunt his development, right?
Yeah.
And maybe also it's not a great idea to go to Italy if you're a black player right now. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. This is
it ain't the most comfortable welcome you're going to receive.
Yeah, depending on certain stadiums that you visit.
All of them. Every single one of them.
It's the away fans. It's the home fans. I don't know what's going on.
It's the front office.
Hey, a little bit of respect.
Dad, you too? He's like, I'm sorry, man. I was just getting into it. You know what I mean? Everyone seems so happy to be disrespected.
You could understand maybe rejecting the offer to Fiorentina or maybe to go to Italy in general.
Fiorentina owned by an American. You know what I mean? So like maybe there's an easier way to get into the league that way, right? An American.
Sure.
Constantly looking at American
but
players.
I think this is a good sign of like when we after Gianluca Busio was playing in the U18s World Cup, I believe, mm-hmm. recently. But when you see this, you can have a pretty good tournament. And your life can change. I mean, this is like, you don't have to be a 22, 23-year-old player to get that huge opportunity, especially as an American. It might be happening a lot sooner if you just really play well, make it into we talk about at the youth levels, like, and creating a pipeline to get great players.
Right.
But this is it. Like, if players have a good showing in a big tournament and people are clearly watching.
That's right. Don't pass, kids. Score if you're playing. Keep the ball for yourself.
Hey, the results don't matter.
You
all right?
Can't all share a contract. You want the house? you gotta put it all on the line, kid.
You want to buy your mama a house? Yeah. You better really make that effort.
You want to move out of your mama's house and buy her a house. That's how you do it. You keep the ball. You run all the way up. You score. What's up, right, Papa? We talked a little bit about men's national team, right? We talked about some players from the men's national team. The ladies, the women's national team. They're still in court, right? They're still battling.
They're not in court. The trial starts, I believe, in March or something.
The lawyers
like that.
Are dealing with all this, right? And everyone thinks it's all right. Everyone thinks it's all fine.
Alexis,
I don't even know what I said that was funny there, to be completely honest.
This is Alexis' description of the legal system. I just, like, don't get involved. Don't. I hope you have no legal issues ever again.
I want you to know there was a period in my life where I was going to be a lawyer. And we all know it would have been mafia lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, for Alexis,
nothing legal would have happened.
Lawyers, lawyering is just slamming a table and screaming at the jury.
I object. She objects. Gulliest. First of all, me in law school is just me figuring out the loopholes. That's all it would have been.
Okay. Yes. The U.S. Women's National Team.
Right.
Ashton Harris has been very vocal in making more comments. It was reported.
Well, hold on. She is the hero. They need Ashlyn Harris,
okay,
because right? She's the one who puts herself on the line. Like Megan Rapinoe clearly seems like sort of the captain of this portion of it, right?
Sure.
She's out in front, she's shaking hands.
Ashlyn Harris is like an admiral.
Yeah, no, she's like angry Obama. Remember that character? Megan Rapinoe's I wish we had more support. She's like, where you at?
That's it. Yeah, very
much.
Pretty much
what's happening here.
And I think there was an article about it on Yahoo Sports. And really, the main thing, the highlight, and to quote that she says, like, the effing thing that's missing is that the U.S. men's national team is not showing public support for their fight for equal pay.
Right. And then someone brought up, like, well, didn't they put out the letter? And she's like, yeah, I don't know who wrote that. But they didn't come out and say it recently. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, in general,
she's just like, you know what I mean?
The men's national team handles themselves a little bit more like
robotic,
a little more cautious. Right. Like, we have to control
Let's take it slow.
The message right. all the time. The women's national team is just out here. Yeah. Yo, where's my money?
Say it to my face.
But you love it.
You think we won't run up in your house? You think we won't? So, I don't care about your dog.
And you love to see it.
I love it. This is what we want. We want more fire.
So you wonder why there can't be at least some sort of compromise where right. maybe the men could bring it up a little bit.
I feel like Michael Bradley will eventually say something, but Ashley Harris' hand gonna be on the back of his neck when he's in front of a microphone guy.
Yo, Michael Bradley, hold my pocket. Yo.
I bought you for $200,000 a TAM and 3 cigarette cartons.
Oh man, that'll just be the funniest image ever.
Photoshop, yo, producer.
Yo, you know you got the skill to do it.
Hire somebody.
So it's interesting because again, the leading up to this trial, most of the time during any court case or any upcoming litigation,
right.
everybody's like, we can't talk about anything because it's an upcoming litigation.
And like, I must have not heard all that because I'm out here flaming everybody. But also, like, you've said this about me. Like, I don't ask people to do something. I, like, guilt them for not doing it.
Sure.
Me and Ashley must be cut from the same cord, okay? Because as soon as I heard this, I was like, yeah, where you at, Missy? Speak on it. You
know? So it's interesting. I like seeing this stuff because this is how you move sort of the needle forward. Yeah,
this is how shit gets done in Newark, okay? You don't ask someone, yo, could you please speak on my behalf? You say, like, yo, why ain't you already spoken on my behalf? It's a slight difference in semantics. Sure, yeah.
The tone just tends to be.
I feel like if you have to listen closely to understand the difference, but it's there.
The demeanor is a little
yeah,
different.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you gotta appreciate it. Hopefully, again, this pushes U.S. soccer to, like, oh, I mean, really, she's trying to push them forward to, like, in the court of public opinion, right? Because it's like this is a move.
They're winning by a landslide in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. So hopefully it works out. All right, cool. So we'll be back with more after this, guys.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in with a word from another one of our sponsors, Live Breathe Football.
That's right. I'm rocking the shirt right now.
They can totally hear that.
they trust me that I'm not lying about
no,
it.
No, that's right. I'm wearing the underwear. And they don't even make it. And that's how important this is.
He just, wrote the LBF on the underwear.
That's right.
On his tighty whities.
That's right.
But Live Breathe Football, sponsoring the show today, they make incredible clothing. I mean, it's absolutely
we're not dope.
We're not exaggerating.
No, I have that pullover Sporting Kansas City jacket.
Yeah.
And I get stopped all the time by people asking me who it is or asking me to get out of their way. Multiple reasons
usually
to stop me.
Usually police. Yeah.
Pull over. A lot of things getting asked. But no, the jacket itself is dope. But what I love about it is, and I've talked about this before on these ads, he's not just buying like a hoodie and throwing Liberty football on it.
Yeah.
He's making everything like basically cut and sew. It's like almost like bespoke. Like this stuff is like, we've talked about before when we feel like soccer merch just isn't as hot. That's why we try so hard with the merch that we do. That's exactly what he's also doing. He's trying to elevate the level of merch in American soccer.
Even in this like t-shirt that I'm wearing, it's just an LBF like t-shirt, but like there's like a little bit of a stretchiness to it. It has like a little bit of spandex in it. Right. I don't know what materials are in here.
There's
exactly.
also like an extra stitch on the back, like these just, little details.
It feels nice. It doesn't feel like a typical like shirt you get at like a Modell's or Sports Authority or anything like that. It's just like, it's a little nicer, a little
it's
cleaner.
It's the details, right? Details. Just like our show. It's all in the little details.
Exactly. So make sure you go to livebreathefootball.com.
But do they get anything off?
They do. I was about to say that.
Okay.
Thanks for interrupting me, Alexis.
That's no problem. It's 15% off. All you have to do is put in the code GULLIUS.
Exactly. So, and Live Breathe Football is spelled the Spanish way, FUTBOL. So
that's right.
Live Breathe Football.
Football.
.com. And use the promo code GULLIUS and you will get 15% off your first order. Dope gear. You can't go wrong with
Holidays are coming.
Holidays is it coming. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's more ominous.
Just like winter is coming.
Yeah, I am hype right now doing the Pete Buttigieg dance.
You know it? Yeah.
I think I nailed it. All right. Okay. If an old Midwestern white woman can get it, I think I can get it.
You know we got it. We're going to put that to our beat like the baby video.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you've ever seen.
That's right. It's not just that,
though. It's not just that.
It also happens to be the Cooligans. I got it right this time.
You nailed it, buddy.
Y'all were watching on Tuesday.
So we are thrilled to welcome our next guest today because...
I want to do one of these right here.
But you got to break that. Don't use that much force, bro. Well,
it's the first time somebody touched the table without a razor. It's a glass table. You already know what happens out here. Which segues me to a Patterson legend.
All right, we don't want to start any rumors.
No. This man ranks above Fetty Wap in jersey importance.
Okay.
Someone who I just love this dude's energy on Twitter. I just feel like he gets me. You know what I mean? Because he doesn't listen to his representatives when he tweets. And that's what I like. Ladies and gentlemen, Haitian national team player. And where is he playing MLS? We're about to find out. Put your hands together for the one, the only. Put your guns in the air for Derek Etienne Jr.
Etienne Jr., what's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Yeah. See, look, the reputation that Alexis creates for you is not exactly accurate.
No,
you're
a good dude. Yes, I hope so.
Great dude. Father or pastor, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so all those are jokes.
He can get a sternly worded letter from his dad.
Yeah, they're going to mail us a Bible.
You better unbox his Bible.
Yeah. Why are there so many post-it notes in here?
Derek, thanks so much for joining us. And look, this is kind of wild because it must have been 3-4 days ago. Alexis maybe just tweeted at you.
I just jumped in. I slid in the DMs.
No, yeah. He didn't know. He didn't slide in my DMs. He hit that. He was in the mentions. But,
yeah, the mentions.
I hit him with the "you up?"
Right there for the public to see.
I quote tweeted you, which is like, not really replying, right? Like, it was kind of like a side way of replying. Well, I was like, yo, could someone... I really meant for you to see it, but I was like, could someone help us get this dude on the show? And you're like, why you want me on your show? And I was like, this is what I'm talking about right here. Because of that reply right there.
Exactly.
Like, he was like, who are you? Why should I grace your show?
I was thinking, I'm like, dag, like, people are coming at my Twitter right now. I can't be in another Twitter beef right now. So it's like,
okay.
Yeah, okay, so you want to be on the show. We're not going to talk about Twitter, are we?
Yeah.
So
what's good about it? First thing we talked about.
Has that been a thing in your career where like maybe the clubs that you played for or anybody been like, yo, why are you tweeting that? Or are they on top of you like that?
Yeah, when I first signed, they were like, I had to go through like a course. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Like, this is what you shouldn't tweet or like. So like at first, like I was just like liking whatever I wanted. So
girls twerking and stuff.
Girls twerking and stuff. And the coach like, yo, what are you doing? Yeah. And then I had to realize that like you can see what people like. So I'm like, oh yes, I stopped liking. I just like DM it to myself now. So I keep it to myself.
He hits that save. Who uses that save function on Instagram? That little banner.
But this must be how players have to interact, right? But this have to on social media because everybody's like, they have their eyes on you. They're watching what you're doing. They're watching your moves.
It's crazy because like I think like I tweeted something the other day and like people started looking at it. But I looked at my Twitter like 4 days before. I was like, yo, I got to watch what I tweet because people's eyes are on me. I was like, dang, I probably should have listened to myself.
Yeah. Well, you posted, what'd you say? Like, if I say the grass is greener, people going to think I mean something
like,
else.
Yeah, like if the grass is too long, people going to think I'm taking shots. And then people are like, oh, now you're coming at the staff. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing now. Yeah,
yeah.
That's when I go, uh-huh. Cut the grass, dude. Why you read my tweets? Long ass grass. I can't do my job out here. Slipping and sliding.
I'm trying to do some stepovers looking silly out here.
I'm trying to look good. Grass is covering my shoes. I want all that. So, I attack. It's a little different.
So let's can catch people up to where you are. You just were playing MC Cincinnati. You were on
MC.
FC.
Okay. I heard the new mixtape. It's fire. It's fire, yo.
I heard Tory's on it. Yo, Tory, get on that.
You really like Tory Lanez?
Yeah, I'm a big Tory Lanez.
You put something like, what did you say? If you're listening to Chicks Tape 5, which just came out, actually, it's a pretty good album. If you say, if you listen to it on Shuffle, we shooting the ones, which for those of you who don't know means we fighting.
Some people may not know.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, you can't, you like, you're supposed to get the full vibes. You can't be out there skipping like the first song. You go, now you're on the last song, get out of the outro and everything. You can't be doing that. You got to be all in the same.
You want to hear the story.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You want to hear the story later. Also, he has what? Jagged Edge. Jermaine Dupri is on the album.
Jagged Edge. Jermaine
Dupri. Is this an album your dad should be listening to?
Hey. It's all about the vibe.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to be doing today.
Yeah, by the way, that's the official album to get HPV to. That is nothing. that is all baby making music.
Okay.
Now, I listen to nothing but Ryder music. He's like, I'm listening to a different Ryder.
I've never listened to a full Tory Lanez album. I just like.
Neither has Tory Lanez. It's literally just Tarek.
He has bangers.
Yeah.
He has bangers without doubt. I'm not taking anything away.
I'm just going to say this, Tory. They said this, not me. I'm a big fan. If you're going to send shots, send it at the cool again. Don't send it my way.
How about next loan? Toronto FC. Y'all can hang out. Y'all can hang out.
Okay. Let's talk
get
about.
Get it Liddy again.
Let's talk about. Your career at the moment.
Oh, so we're not going to just talk about what music he likes. Fair.
We will get back to it. But you playing at FC Cincinnati. What was your time like there? And then what's the next move? What does Derek Etienne Jr. know about what's happening next?
FC Cincinnati was cool. The fans were really good. So you know, for them being in the position they were when I got there, to still be selling out. The games was amazing. Yeah. They're really big in it. Like I was the first day I got there, I was walking in. Probably shouldn't say this. I was walking in. I had Chick-fil-A. There's a Chick-fil-A right next to the hotel.
Sure,
so
sure.
Yeah, someone got Chick-fil-A. I said, wait, look real familiar. I'm like, please, don't do this. So they're like, nah. Oh yeah, you just got here. Yo, welcome to Cincinnati. You're gonna love it here. But yeah, the people were real nice. The training facilities were cool. But right now, at the moment, you know, I came back. The loan's over, so we'll see what happens in the future.
Okay,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I love
that's
it.
That's a Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Plug right there. Let that be known.
Very political answer. We gonna let it sit right there. But so your career sort of now, you know, everyone, a lot of people know you, especially for the Haitian national team. Mm-hmm. You came in, I forgot the first game you came in, they like started warming you up like midway through the first half, right?
Yeah.
And you came in the second half and immediately changed the pace of the game. Mm-hmm. How did that feel like for you with everything that's happened, being Haitian after the earthquake, going back the whole nine, but also like being someone who grew up in America, what did that feel like playing for the Haitian national team?
I mean, like, For my family, I mean, my grandfather's from Haiti, so yeah. He was the first one to come over here. And when I told him I was going to play for the Haitian national team, he was crying. So he was like, "So he the Haitians are very proud people. You definitely know that."
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll definitely
get into it.
We're gonna do a commercial break before that one, though. We're gonna take some time with Hispaniola.
but it was a big moment for me, and then I was disappointed not to be starting the game, but. I always told myself that, you know, you take your moments, and I was able to go in there and help the team. But yeah, that was a big moment for me because I was the first time I was like on the international stage where everyone can see. And I just wanted to put out a good show. And again, thankfully, I was able to do that.
Yeah. When the coach was like, warm up, you're like, oh, I was just about to eat this Chick-fil-A.
We should talk about because I am Dominican.
That's right.
And Dominican Republic.
We stop throwing stuff at each other.
I'm glad you're in the between us, Alexis. Yeah. No, but you know, yeah. on a serious note, because this is we've talked about this on the show before. You know, like I was there. I was in Dominican Republic last year for the CONCACAF Champions League game.
That's crazy.
That Cibao FC was playing in, right? So it was like wild to see. Dominicans care about soccer, right? And the big issue, a big problem I have whenever I'm there is I hate seeing the way Dominicans treat Haitians in Dominican. It's infuriating. It is a it's a huge, as the country has a huge problem with it. I hate it. Really frustrating. But as a Haitian person and player, what is sort of your feelings towards it? What is it like playing against the Dominican Republic as a Haitian player? And what are your thoughts on it to some degree, you know?
Honestly, it's beef on sight. That's how we are. Like, my first time, I was 18 playing with the U-23s and we went to Dominican Republic. So we had to drive there the game before, just go over, and they held us there all night. Just like, yeah, you guys got to wait outside the gate to get to cross in. So that was the first thing. So we're like, all right, yo, when we get there, we going to smack these mugs. We got to.
Yeah.
So then.
Oh, I get it.
But
I mean, if anybody needs me to translate, right, I got you. You can sense it.
But yeah, I mean, it hasn't really been that difficult because we haven't had that much things to do with each other. Like, we don't play baseball, so it's like, there's no beef there. You guys got that. But when it comes
to forget,
that's why we brought. All right, Big Poppy, come on.
It's a real rivalry. You can feel it when we step on there, when the national anthem's on. You know, there was kind of disrespect there. You know, they're whistling and stuff during the national anthem. So we just felt that, you know, we had the nation on our back. We got to do something. So we were able to go out there and smack y'all around easily.
Yo, I ain't even mad.
I mean, that's what happens when you're disrespectful. Because sometimes you catch a big ol' L.
It's one of those things that, as a Dominican, I grew up in New York, but like, it is a thing that I feel shame about, without a doubt. It's just like, what is the point of all of this? Like,
I don't know.
The island itself could be so unified and be beautiful, and but they just they're not about it.
I also would love to hear Creole spoken with a Dominican accent. I think that would be beautiful. Wildly confusing everybody, but beautiful.
I think both countries will be furious about that. Yeah.
I just want to say, as a Cuban, we love Haitian. Haiti. We are Haitians, our peoples. We love them. I don't know what Dominican problem with them is. We love fried cube pork. So let's get it.
Real.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go. Okay. Serious stuff over. When we talk about soccer, you come from a long lineage of playing soccer. Your father played professionally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Your uncle, I think, also played.
Yeah, they were on the same team.
Your
yeah.
father played for the Richmond Kickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Long Island Rough Riders.
Yeah.
Ah, that's right. That's right. We did research before you walked in here. But your father was like an integral part in you playing soccer and in your development in playing soccer.
100%.
How important was he? And if he wasn't there, do you think you'd be a professional soccer player?
No, not at all. He was extremely important. I think the first time I really said, like you always, as a little kid, you want to do what your dad does. So I was like, yeah.
No, I had no father. So, you know, I too would like to not be here sometimes.
Well,
so tell us, what's it like to have a dad, Derek?
Nah, but yeah, I think the first time I said, yo, I really, like, I on my own wanted to be a soccer player, they just won the national championship. And so he just scored. So like, yeah. So like, I was like, yeah, that's my dad. That's
yeah.
my dad. Like, no, like, we don't care, bro. Like, who cares? But no, he was always there pushing me. I saw from a young age what being a pro would be like and what I had to do. And so, you know, there's a lot of missed out parties in high school and stuff that I couldn't go to because it's just, you know, like, yo, if you really want to be a pro, you can't be doing it what everyone else is doing. So I think for sure without my dad, I wouldn't be a pro here today. And, you know, shout out to him. He also got a Instagram account, so if anybody want to follow.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember his handle right now.
Oh.
We'll put it up.
That's not going to help anybody. You know what? I also don't know my father's Instagram handle. So look at us. Look at us, Derek. It's Derek Etienne _.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Just type in Derek Etienne, it's the older looking one.
Is he also wild brazy on social media like you or no?
Nah, he's reserved. I didn't get that from him. That's just, you know,
streets.
That's from Patterson. He's not from Patterson, so he doesn't know. But nah, yeah.
I'm curious about the growing up here and playing soccer here. Like, obviously your dad and your family, like, playing soccer in Haiti and then being here and then being in like the U.S. sort of system, Rebel Academy, What was that? Did they see it as either strange, or did they have any challenges with it? Or like, how was it raising you to become a soccer player for them?
Oh, it was easy. I was always with my dad. He was always playing soccer, so I was always with him. He was carrying me around, playing with them. My dad knew that, yeah, if you want to be a pro, you got to be in a pro environment. So for me to be in Red Bull at a young age was perfect. They didn't have to pay for it. Just drive me to practice. They gonna do what they need to do.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't like how I was playing, we got car rides home. So you just gotta be ready for that. But yeah, to be honest, for knowing what he knew, my dad was spot on with all the stuff I needed to be around and stuff like that. So it was all easy.
Okay. He's tough. I've heard he's like really tough. I heard he would give you grades after every game.
Oh yeah, for
and
sure.
His grade was a little lower than what you give yourself.
Yeah, like he'd be like, "Yeah, so what do you think? How do you think you played?" I look at his face first to try to like get an answer. So I think he started picking up on it. So he'll sit there with a straight face,
poker face.
So what do you think you played? I gave myself a C. Yeah, you tried to get me there. I think you actually played a good game today. Yeah. Like, yeah, I remember. Yeah. I think the one time when I was playing indoor, I think I told everybody the story, and he like looked at me and he's like, "Yo, you suck today." And I was like, "What?" I was like, "Yo, I scored 2 goals. So what? You could have had 5. It doesn't matter." I'm like, "Okay." Next game, went out there. Like, how'd I play this time? Yeah, you play better. I'm like, this guy, there's no pleasing this guy. But nah, I think that's one of the reasons why I play like I play, and the player I am today is because I'm always expecting, you know, there's always a higher ceiling, another level to get to. You never know who's watching you. So, yeah, I thank him for that, because if he wasn't as tough on me, I wouldn't be able to take, you know, professional coaches and things like that yelling at me. So he set me up pretty well.
That's how it is with Caribbean parents. You can't. There's nothing you could do.
Yeah, you're never successful. They only tell everyone else how great you are.
Exactly.
They only tell you you're trash.
Hold on. Derek's walking the room. Yeah, you suck, Derek. Yeah.
I was just telling him how much you suck. I'm so proud of you. I want to talk to you about something that's near and dear to me, which is you're a dude from Patterson. I grew up in Newark. There's a certain way we carry ourselves, right? Yeah. And it seems like American soccer.
Are you carrying?
Yeah. No, officer, we're not. Damn, I didn't know you were wearing a jersey with the number 12 on it. But there's a certain way we carry ourselves, and American soccer overwhelmingly is, I don't know how to say it, very white, okay? And very suburban. How is it? You were on the inside, right? For a little while, you were being looked at by a U.S. men's national team, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
But you've been around the academy system for a long time. Is there, maybe we don't see it, but it feels like, especially when it comes to Latinos, like it's a lot of conversation, a lot of articles being talked about how there's no one that really represents us. For someone from Patterson, someone who grew up, someone who's black, was there a lot of representation? Did you see that? Or did you really have to lean on your family for that?
I mean, there were certain guys like DeMarcus Beasley,
right?
Josie. But like, You don't really get to see I guess because now with the social media and things, you're able to see the other side of off the field. But off the field, it was more like, yeah, I always looked up to, you know, Allen Iverson. That was a big, Tracy McGrady. Those guys were big for me growing up, because, you know, for me, at least Allen Iverson, he brought to you how you were, you know, off the field, on the court. So you weren't afraid to be yourself.
Right.
And I think that was big for me, because like you said, when you do look at soccer, you do see predominantly, especially in MLS at the time, was a predominantly white sport. So to be able to show, you know, your swag or a little bit of yourself is something I always wanted to do. For me, I hated wearing the short shorts. So I was always the kid who was wearing like large shorts.
Right.
But they were like, "Yo, why are your shorts so big?"
That's not sponsored by And One.
Yeah. Or like wear my socks all the way up as high as it can go. So like little things like that is something I tried to do, you know, just to be yourself, to be comfortable. I feel that you play your best when you're happy and when you're comfortable. So Allen Iverson was big on that. But then, yeah, definitely looking at my dad, I'm a clown him. He used to wear the huge shin guards, like,
the big
ones, yeah.
One that also covered your ankle.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, "Yo, I can't be wearing those. Yo, I can't." And so I remember the first time, like, I went out and got my own stuff. I got him. He's like, yo, these don't have the ankle guards. What? Ankle guards? Like, what's next? You want me to have some Crocs and some jean shorts on out there?
I'm out here wearing suspenders?
You got a walker with the tennis balls on the bottom?
Yeah, so like, yeah, just trying to, you know, any way you can, just try to, you know, everyone says it now, bring the culture on the field. So I think you see that more now, guys with, you know, rocking the tats. I know my roommate in Haiti, he used to play for he plays for New England.
Okay.
He got the tats. He's also Japanese, so he got the little Japanese stuff on it. So it's cool, like, to see how guys can, you know, bring their off field onto the field. That's what I try to do. I don't try to really be a trendsetter or nothing like that. I just try to be myself, and then hopefully, you know, another little kid will sooner or later be like, okay, like, I like him. Like, you, when you're a professional, I look at it, who can you inspire for the next generation? That's what I try to do.
Right. Do you think about that? Do you think maybe you are inspiring the next generation? Do you get a chance to talk to a lot of the academy kids? Because you came through the academy. Are you seeing more diversity?
Yeah. I think like when I first signed, I was doing the Hotline Bling celebration.
Right.
And then now the kid Omir Fernandez, he used to play in the academy. He was doing it too. So like little things like that. I had a cousin who was in the academy. So he used to try to do the Hotline if he scored anything. So like little things like that, you know, winning trophies and stuff like that, it's amazing. And that's what you get paid to do. But you know, to be able to say, like, yo, one of my boys just hit the Hotline
in the
academy, that's something cool. So,
and didn't you and BWP used to do like kind of like a Schmurder dance or something, right?
So I don't know how this came about. Like he listened to, like, you know, Grime. Like
he's a grime artist.
Yeah, he got bars.
Yeah, he does go. Yeah, got a couple bars.
We challenged him to a battle.
I can't give him all that credit. I know he got some bars, but I can't give him all that credit.
There's a limited amount of bars.
Bars exist.
No, yeah.
Sure. We tried. We challenged him to a rap battle, and we're like, you're gonna win. We suck. We ain't got no bars, dog.
Nah, he would never do that because, like, he doesn't know what you guys have. So he's like, I don't want to go out there, put out some bars, and like, yo, these guys are actually nice.
I'm
so
like, Doug, we trash. Like, I promise you, we trash.
Yeah, but like, yeah, so the song called Gun Lean came out.
Yeah.
It's crazy because from Patterson, Gun Lean. It's stereotypical.
We're like, well, when I was on British, people like, what, one gun y'all got in that country?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like they in the song, they started doing this dance. They're like, yo, that's hot. And he's like, next goal, yo, we got to do it. It's like, all right, word. So then, luckily, like, the next game I scored, you were able to do it afterwards. It was cool. But yeah, I always try to, I always look at, you know, things. Like, I've been tweeting at Odell. I'm going to try to learn how to moonwalk. I got cleats on. He did it. Maddie. He looked mad smooth doing this. I'm like, yo.
That's turf, though.
Yeah. So I'm like, yo.
Sorry, maybe stop complaining about the tall grass. Move a little smoother.
Yeah, but I'm always trying to find a way to have fun and, you know, go viral.
Yeah.
nice gif made out of you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Do you think that there is that is very much lacking in MLS in general, where it seems a little bit, I don't want to say like corporate per se, but it seems like there's a almost like a military type, like, this is how we, you know, you want to be proper in this league, this is what you sort of need to do. I think you're sort of seeing little by little players, you know, kind of show a little bit more of their personality, but it seems a little bit more staunch than other leagues.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, guys are starting to come out more.
We know what you mean.
All right, we're not 13 years old, Derek.
Of us are not 13 years old.
But yeah, guys are trying to be more comfortable, you know, and showing that's out of themselves, you know. I think it's because we try so hard to prove that, you know, our league is worth being watched. You don't want to be out there doing anything crazy and stuff. But I think the more and more people get more comfortable with the league and where we are as a league, I think that you're going to be able to see a lot more guys, you know, come out of their shells, because there's a lot of cool guys in this league who are just as crazy as, you know, some of the crazy guys that you know in the league.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Pogba. Like, I think he kind of changed the game a little bit, because like he made it okay to me, where like people like just accepted it. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
I'm like, oh, word. All right. You could be a little hip hop if you want. And it's not a big deal. Like, American soccer to me always seemed a little staunchy, you know, a little stuffy. So when I saw you and BWP then, I was like, okay, shit changed. And I'm like, oh, of course he's from Patterson. Had to be one of us.
Oh, it all checks out.
Yeah. We good. Let's go to Checkers.
No, it's it's nice to see. But even like, you know, speaking of Pogba, like there's a lot of like blowback, right? It's just like the you know, the media starts to talk about they're not focused on the game and all this other stuff. And it's like, yo, he's still like your best player.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Is there ever a concern that might, you know, is that why people might be cautious to do that stuff? Because they don't want to deal with the criticism?
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, Pogba's a big example. He might not be playing the way everybody thinks he should be playing, but at the end of the day, he's still getting results. But, you know, if you're out there, you know, Millie rocking and stuff, like look at Jesse Lingard.
Lingard, yeah.
Everyone's talking about, yo, you haven't done that since you Millie rocked at the Emirates.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it can be a downfall. But,
yeah, but don't you think it's because it was a trash Millie rock, right?
It wasn't bad. It was against Arsenal.
Trash.
But, yeah.
I still hate it. Can't do that on every block.
We're having a great convo here with Derek Etienne Jr. I wanted to ask you about the news that just happened just about a day or two ago. Thierry Henry. Going to Montreal Impact. I'm laughing because I mentioned it during the break and Derek giggled a little bit. I'm like, all right, what's happening here?
Breaking. Derek giggled.
But this is huge. I mean, Thierry Henry coming back to MLS, I'm sure. You didn't play with him, but you did.
I trained with him,
right? Yeah. So, but I mean, this is huge for Major League Soccer. I think definitely when Rebels play Montreal, there's going to be some sort of his welcome back to Rebel Arena is probably going to be wild too. When you heard that news, how'd you feel?
I was surprised. I'm like, oh, TT's back.
Yeah, yeah.
The sidelines are going to be crazy during the game. But I wasn't really with him a lot, but I'm really close with Brad, who's really close with him, and some of the stories that he's told me were crazy. So like, it's going to be real interesting. I think he's definitely going to bring some personality to the MLS and to that team. So we'll see. Rebels are rival with almost everyone in the East, so it's obviously a rival, but then for TT to be back at Rebel Arena, hopefully he don't smack us.
when you see something like Thierry Henry coming back to MLS to be a manager, do you think that says anything about the league? Because it seems like if he's taking a chance to sort of rebuild his career after what happened in Monaco, most people would say like, he could go to like a championship team or he can go to a different club in France. But for him to come to MLS, you being an MLS player, do you think like, cool, that's like the league is leveled up a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, Zlatan being in the league, Rooney was being in the league, Vela being in the league, guys like that is great. But then when you can get someone like that to be on the outside looking in, I think that's amazing, because you want good players in the league, but then when you get a good manager, so we'll see if he gets the results that he wants. But that's something very high profile that, you know, you had him, you had Tata Martino, you had Dominic at New York City. So I think it's definitely bringing up the level of the league to get good players, but also good coaches. So, you know, excited to see what happens in 2020.
Okay. Now, I mean, this isn't a part of our show, but there's something we're interested in, right? You were loaned out to FC Cincinnati. Let's say the next step in your career is another loan. Would you be interested in maybe playing with TT?
I can't say anything about that.
Okay.
You have to
don't answer.
My representatives made sure I didn't drop any leaks on this.
Also, we were emailed not to ask you that question, but we did anyway. This is the voice of Christian Belong.
I'm curious about your time with the Rebels, whether it continues or not, but your time playing against NYCFC and that rivalry, that when that you know, team came into the league. How did you feel in those games, and how do the Rebels prepare playing against NYCFC?
So we hate them as much as they hate us. So okay. Like the rivalry is crazy, but I think it's definitely evened out since the 7-0. Yeah, we smacked Josh. But
now's probably a good time to tell you we're both season 3. NYCFC.
Yeah, we smacked them
7-0. Yes. Yeah, it was a rough day.
Right? Yeah. We stayed for the whole match. We watched the whole thing. I like to wait to the end of the funeral before I leave.
Be a little rude.
Parking lot clears out a little bit.
But we know it was always gonna be a battle. So going into those games, especially at NYCFC, we knew the field was smaller. So there's little things. One thing I give you guys is Morales is a baller.
Yeah, like, yeah, isn't he?
For someone so small, the way he competes is insane. So we always try to make sure that we were looking out for him. Of course, David Villa was a big problem. We don't really care how the game looks when it gets to that. We know that whoever wants it more is going to win, no matter what quality you have on the field. So if you're there for the battle, you'll win the game. And I think we've been up for the battle most of the times. Favorite moment was definitely when I scored and they threw the Smurfs head on the field. Because yes. I was actually surprised because like it almost hit me. I was like, yo, who's throwing this at me? Yeah. I saw the Smurf head. I said, get this out of here, man. We take real pride in that. Those games and DC games are games we really definitely get up for, and New England. Those games, you know, we understand, like I said, it's all about competing. And if we can go through practice, so that week of practice is hell. You got guys yelling at like on each other, like, yo, like, yeah, yo, you're not working hard enough. It's not even that, yo, you can have an open goal. Yo, you didn't, the play before that, you didn't make the run in behind, bro. What are you doing? Like, they don't, like, to be honest, it's everyone's uptight because you never want to lose that rivalry game because, you know, you got the city on the line.
Yeah, but that is great to hear just about
that players taking it seriously
yeah. Because it not only does it mean a lot for the rivalry, for the league, but for the city,
and for the sport. You know, there's a lot, you were talking about Knicks before, there's a lot of sports, there's a lot of professional teams in New York. So for soccer to sort of level up and continue to build in the city, you want that rivalry to be as heated as it is. And to know that the players take it as seriously as the fans do, sometimes the fans take it a little too seriously, all right?
Is there any bigger rivalry right now as far as like in the New York area? I mean, Giants Jets, it's nothing, right?
No, nobody cares.
Nobody cares about those. Yeah. Knicks Nets, less people care about that. Yeah. So I think this is the best rivalry we have right now.
Rangers Islanders, nobody cares about hockey. Sorry, just talking to my
I don't even know the last time I saw a Rangers, to be honest.
Unless you're sponsoring, in which case we love the Rangers.
Yeah, even Yankees Mets, it's like, I mean, they're clearly a David and Goliath type of situation. But no, I like hearing that because it's at least like, oh, look, this is the passion is there, not just for the sport in itself, but this rivalry is, I mean, honestly, what I think is missing is if and when NYCFC get a stadium, finally, it's like these two sort of behemoths in this.
It won't matter.
It won't matter.
Man, I saw that balloon.
Like, it really won't, like, I think the best thing for it is that you can be like, yeah, like we say, yeah, we beat you guys 7-0 at home. That's not your home. Do you want that to happen at your crib?
Listen, not everyone could be a homeowner, all right? Sometimes you rent. You know?
Because my finances ain't where they need to be.
Maybe you get a previously furnished apartment.
All right.
So you can, you know, you pay on a weekly basis or whatever, but then you make it, all right? Some of us make the American dream in a different way.
Okay, we'll be back with Derek after this. Oh, my God.
That's right, baby. We're back with Derek Etienne Jr. This has been an absolutely incredible episode so far. When people sort of want to know a little bit about a player, right, they'll go on their social media. Sometimes you don't get everything that you need to know about someone. Like, what is it that you want people to know, right? Because you sometimes talk a little wild on the internet. You share a lot of wild stuff. I love your Twitter. All right? I'm a big fan. I know, I'm sure Don Garber and your representatives aren't, but I am. You know, what do you think? Like, what do you, like, when someone's like, yo, what makes Derek Etienne Jr. Derek Etienne Jr.? What do you think that is?
I just try to be as real as possible. I don't want people to think that, you know, because I'm from Patterson. So I don't want people to think that, yo, like, you just left Patterson and it's, you know, you're in corporate world now. So you don't know how to maneuver in both worlds. So I try to be as straight up as possible. I try to be interactive with people. I mean, I don't think I'm a big time athlete or anything. So, like, I know if someone tweets at me and I think it's funny, I might respond. Like, so it's cool. I like to be interactive on Twitter and social media and stuff. So, like, if at any time, I think for the most part, anyone should know that, yeah, he's a cool guy. He's down to earth. He's mad chill. You might get a response from him. You might get a like from him.
And that's how we got you on the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, but like, I mean, that's the most important thing. I don't want to be fake.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, it's funny because and people think like I'm crazy. Someone said to me the other day, it's like, yo, I've never heard someone rep Newark as hard as you do. It's like it sort of prepares you for the world. Like you have to sort of maintain because if you're not a certain way, you can't go back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. And I, like that's something that's like wild important to me. It's like when I was in the corporate world or now I've been a stand-up comic for 10 years, it's like I have to carry myself a certain way. It's like I always think like, yo, what would the dudes I grew up with think about what I was doing right now or how I was acting right now? And that's something constant. Do you think that's helped you in your sort of professional soccer career?
I think so because, you know, I always think, you know, for me, like if, cause I like to help out little kids. Mm-hmm. So if I go back to little kids and I'm acting brand new and different and stuff, they won't be able to relate to me.
Absolutely.
So I try to be able to relate to.
That's why I don't help out kids.
But nah, like.
Nah. Very brand new.
Yeah. Nah. I can't hear you all the way this far up in the penthouse. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I think that that's helped me because, going back, I think off season's the most is the most time I get to go back. So like I'll go back and play at Turf City.
Right.
And like you don't want to be out there, you know, yo, I play for Red Bull, get out there. I want this. Like, nah, you go out there, you're just a regular guy.
Right.
So I try to be a regular guy, even though I do have a certain status, I guess. You know, the verification check, you know. Have you really helped me out there? Thank you, Twitter. Thank you, Instagram.
No slide tackling. I got a blue check.
Yo, you tackle me, I slide in your girl's DMs. Yeah.
By the way, he was planning on doing it anyway. So.
But nah, I definitely am grateful for where I came up from, where I grew up from, because that's, you know, that's molded me and made me to who I am. So hopefully I don't ever really be like forget Patterson and stuff like that. So yeah, shout out to Patterson.
It's great.
Silk City, baby.
That's right. That's where I got married.
See?
For real. At the Brownstone.
Yeah. We out here.
Sign, you know how to keep it gully.
Within affordable Patterson. That's right. Range.
My wife's like, I want to get married somewhere nice. Scratch all that. We're going to Patterson. Tell your family to go down 46 if they don't want to see the projects.
Are you proud of me?
You want to see how I came up?
I think it's cool because there is, and you know, I grew up in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, and there is a sense of like you have to operate one way here, and you know, and one way in the other. But it's it's a thing of like you have to. It's what code switching, right? Is that what they call it? But it's probably a little bit more complex than that because it's like you don't want to give up who you are and where you came from, and also still, you know, participate in the conference call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, sometimes, you know, you got to be like, hey, yeah, I go from, yo, bro, like, yo, get out of my face, I'm going to snuff you, to, hey, how you doing? Hey, this is Derek Etienne. You're speaking to him right now. Yeah. At this moment,
please
can't really speak.
Please remove yourself from my face. Or I will gladly snuff you.
Oh, my God. Great.
So seriously, Derek, where are you playing next season?
I will be playing with Cut the Cameras Now.
We fade to black.
But we wish you all the best, man. I know you're going to have a wonderful continuation of your career wherever you end up. And
regardless of where that is, take it easy at NYCFC. We in the stands, man.
That's all we want.
Knicks fan. I'm a Knicks fan, Arsenal fan. Please stop scoring.
Just think about us.
Yeah.
A second.
Free chopped cheese if you throw the game.
We got you, all right?
Yeah, we got you, fam.
Oh, God, that chopped cheese is for you, dog.
Yo, it's going to be warm as hell when you
play. Salt, pepper, ketchup, all that.
All
son.
That.
All that.
Yo, Taylor ham, egg, and cheese is for me and all my friends.
Derek Etienne Jr., thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been great. I'm glad we met you on Twitter, and it's even better in real life.
That's right. Thank everybody, tweet at him. He'll show up at your house.
Don't slide up in my DMs. Yeah. You'll get the pause automatically.
Derek, thanks again, man. We appreciate you, dude. All right, so we'll be back with more after this.
Deuces.
Thank you again, Derek Etienne Jr.
How incredible was he?
Unreal.
Ah.
Dope. Dope dude. A homie.
It's so worth him getting in trouble with his representation for being on the show.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be all right. That was honestly one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. What a great dude.
It's cool when we meet, you know, just down to earth players.
That's right. We just got to get more people from Patterson and Newark, and yeah, I mean,
why can't there be more players directly from, you know, Patterson,
yeah,
Compton,
Watts,
you know? Yo. Why you need to get the soccer academy need to be right there.
We are Brownsville United. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Flatbush FC.
Right.
Let's do it.
We'll be all right. We'll put those little security things on our laptop. We'll
be all right. So, again, so thank you again, Derek Etienne, for joining us.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you for responding to Twitter.
They usually don't. Most players do not. But we wanted to talk about one quick thing that was news that happened just a couple days ago.
Great news.
But relevant to Red Bull and Sky Blue FC. Sky Blue FC officially announces that they will have a partnership with the New York Red Bulls where they'll be playing all their 2020 matches at Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, this is huge.
This is huge, especially for this is huge for soccer, huge for women's soccer, yes, in the tri-state area.
Huge for those players.
Exactly. You know? A lot of people happy. We've had
what was it? Yakyak or something like that?
Yurkak.
All right.
Yakyak.
No, I'm fine. Thank you for asking. I don't know. But that's what they were playing before, which is like 2 hours away.
Yeah. Away from New York. It was a little difficult to get to.
Yeah.
It was like by Rutgers, right?
I guess so.
Around that area. Okay, cool. Well, you're the one from New Jersey.
No,
yes.
I'm not. I'm from Newark. It's different.
I'm from Newark, okay? My criminal record says so.
That's our state ID in Newark.
So, but no, this is tremendous. I mean, we went to the Sky Blue match where they played against the Seattle Reign at Rebel Arena.
Like 10,000 people there. Yeah, they broke a record for Sky Blue FC.
So, it was a big issue for a lot of the Sky Blue fans where, like, they weren't going regularly to matches because it was just a little inconvenient to get to, especially the ones that were, you know, to support an NWSL team. The closest team was Sky Blue, and it wasn't. And if you were in the New York area, it was difficult to get to.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and you can clearly see when this has happened with the Washington Spirit as well, when they've been playing their matches at Audi Field, mm-hmm, and they nearly sell them out. Pretty much, I think they've sold out one or two. So this is a good move for MLS teams. There's no real reason to not do it and not make it work, similar to Timbers Thorns. And
I'm sure if you manage Rebel Arena, you were worried maybe, you know, the fans wouldn't show up, and maybe it's an expenditure that you don't make back in door in ticket sales or something. I'm not exactly sure how it works out, but I think those two matches showed, even though the second one didn't have as big a fan base to show up, that was still incredible.
It was still a lot, and it was like, and there were a lot of issues. That game happened like at like 11 a.m. before a Rebel match, so it's like, even with that, they still had, I think, like 7,000-8,000. So,
and the big news is too is that they're announcing it as a partnership with New York Red Bulls. So maybe there are more double headers. Maybe there's a chance that, hey, if you could buy a ticket for this match, you get a free ticket to this NWSL match, which hopefully opens the door to new fans to come watch NWSL.
It's exciting. I'm happy for them. And you know, we've had Kaylin Sheridan, who's the goalkeeper for Sky Blue FC, on our show, who's awesome. Check out our podcast. Check out our YouTube if you haven't seen that interview, because it's incredible.
She's great.
And it's good to see more positive news coming from Sky Blue FC, because they had a rough go about a year ago. They had a couple issues, but it seems to be that things are on the up and up for them. So another thing I wanted to get to, other news that happened this week, the announcement of another retirement.
That's right, David Villa done. Calling it quits.
Calling it quits, but he is...
Storied career, I mean...
Of course, but he is still playing for Vissel Kobe in Japan.
This is his last season.
He's trying to get them the trophy, the Emperor's Cup, that's what it's called out there.
Bit much.
No,
everybody relax.
No, it's the MVP is actually called the Shogun of the Year. So that's pretty cool. But no, David Villa, a person we've gotten to meet, crazy. He's had an incredible career. It's crazy that we've met David Villa and he's like a part of our lives.
It's weird that we worked for David Villa at one point.
Yeah, it's insane. So Guaje, just an incredible career. Obviously, not it's not over.
No.
Queensborough FC is happening. He's coming back to New York to, you know, to maybe break some NYCFC hearts fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Or give them a place to go if they want to leave being NYCFC fans, apparently. So, a lot of people ready to jump ship.
But I think, you know, David Villa might end up becoming a very important figure in soccer in the U.S.
Youth development.
And in New York.
Yeah.
The DV7 Academy. He has academies in Dominican Republic.
I mean, United.
How much is David Villa doing for me in my life directly? It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. He's really integrating himself. Wait till he starts doing stand-up. The whole thing.
He's with twins.
Yeah. Guys, what an absolutely incredible episode this has been.
We crushed it.
We did great.
We did great. Thank you. All the reviews are in. And it's a bit our two reviews.
Yes.
Positive.
Whatever. Those are the reviews that are in so far.
Right. I'll tell you. All right. Yeah. We didn't make the rules.
No. I mean, we had to carry Derek the whole time. No, really. What an absolutely incredible interview, man.
Derek Etienne Jr. Make sure you follow him on all social medias. He's hilarious on all the things.
What a lovable character on social media.
So again, yes, make sure you follow him, and thank you again for watching the show. We appreciate it. Next week we'll be doing a best of episode.
Ooh, best of, it's
because
so
of Thanksgiving
dope.
And all that stuff. So happy holidays.
Who are
stuff.
You?
My name is Christian Blanco.
I'm Alex Guerrero.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!